Galatians chapter 5, if you will. Galatians chapter 5. We started a series 5 weeks ago, at least this is lesson number 5, on the subject of helping people. Helping people. We're going to discuss for some time this important matter of helping people. Tonight it's lesson number 5. I want you to look at Galatians chapter 5, find verse number 22. And then if you'll stand with me, please, we're going to read together. I'll read out loud and you can follow along silently. Galatians chapter 5, starting with verse number 22, the Bible says this: "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Now, verse number 22, the first handful of words there, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." The title of tonight's sermon is this: Helping People Through Love. Helping people through love. And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. Holy Spirit, meet with us in that unique and special way that you do and that you can. And God, tonight we realize that the success of this meeting is not up to whether or not you come, because you will. It's whether we'll surrender to you while you're here. So help us tonight to be in submission to thy Spirit. Help us to learn this important lesson about helping people by loving people, please. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat there. Here the Bible says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." Notice the very first thing on this list of the fruit of the Spirit is love. It has a place of preeminence. It's a lofty quality. It's a required quality. It's a foundational quality. Matter of fact, it may be first because God wanted it to be that on which all the other fruits of the Spirit are built upon or connected to. And folks, as Christians, we're all commanded here to be filled with the Spirit. Now, when God sealed His Holy Spirit within us at salvation, it was so that He could control and influence our behavior every minute of the day. And let me tell you this, to whatever degree you are filled with the Spirit, to that degree you are right with God. Now, notice the fruit of the Spirit is love. If you and I are going to help people, we have to help people the same way God does. I can't think of a more powerful or influential verse in the whole Bible than John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." Now, if you and I are going to help the people in this world, we're going to have to do it God's way. Well, how does He do it? Through love. Through love. The Holy Spirit was given to us at salvation. Now, He was given to empower us for soul winning. He was given to us to daily control and to control everything about us. But notice that love is one of the fruits of the Spirit. The more we're filled with the Holy Spirit, the more love of God will be expressed in our lives. Folks, if the Holy Spirit has control over your life, you'll be overflowing with real godly love. This generation of the human race is very weak and anemic in regard to love. The world's love is tainted, and it's not what God expects of us. So if you say, "Well, you know, preacher, I do a pretty good job of expressing love and loving people compared to the world." Folks, don't compare yourself to the world. The world's love is anemic. It's mixed up. It's tainted. It's not even right. They don't even know what love is in this day and age. A church's lack of love comes because of a church's lack of interest in the Holy Spirit. You see, the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, I think a church that doesn't love right, there's an absence of the presence of the Holy Spirit of God in it. I think a Christian's lack of love has something to do with a lack of submission to the Holy Spirit. God cannot fully bless us until we are filled with His Spirit, and then that Spirit can help us to have this quality called love. Love is Holy Spirit produced. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. It says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love." Now, if you and I want to help people, we need to do it God's way. God said, I want you to win others to Christ, but can I tell you, the Holy Spirit was given that we might win others to Christ and He'll help us. You say, well, what does He uniquely do? I think He very uniquely helps people to see the love of Christ in us while we're witnessing to people. If you don't believe it, go out soul winning, be curt, be rude, and be mean. And see how much progress you make. You walk up to somebody and say, if you die today, are you sure you go to heaven or will you go to hell? Do you know you're a sinner? You're a bad sinner. Sinners go to hell. Do you want to get saved? Well, if you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell. That's what the Bible says. Get saved or don't. Do what you want. But I needed to tell you about Jesus. Now, do you really think you're going to win someone to Jesus that way? The Holy Spirit comes and He leads you. He speaks to them on the inside while you're speaking to them on the outside. But there's this dose of the love of God that gets involved in that thing. And they see that you truly are concerned and care about them. That'll change a life. That will help a person. And so just being, you say, I'm going to be a soul winner. That's good. Be obedient to the command of God to tell others about Jesus, but do it through the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is going to create in you a love for people. But folks, if we're going to help people, we need to help them by loving people. Now, let me give you some practical thoughts about this. First of all, God is love, and He is a people helper. God is love, and He helps people. The Bible says in 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. God is a great lover. I might add, God is a great giver. God, you know, when God created things, notice He created them to constantly give. God created the sun, what for? To give warmth, to give light. God, the great lover, created the moon. And that moon, once again, it gives light. It has purpose. He created the stars. He created the earth. So God is the great lover, and God is the great giver. And don't forget this, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And if you want to help people, you've got to learn to love. And that we're going to get that example from God. God is a God of perfect love. But God's love is not fleshly, it's not carnal, it's pure, it's spiritual. God loves to love. God loves to love you. God loves to love others through you. God longs to control you. And so when we talk about you and I submitting to the Holy Spirit, if we'll do that, while we're in submission to the Holy Spirit, God can love people through us. And let me explain. You try to love me with your love, or I try to love you with my love, that's a little anemic. But if I will let God use me as a tool and let Him love through me, and if you'll let God love through you, now the recipient is getting supernatural love, and I get to be a part of it. And so many times you and I, you say, I'm loving my husband, I'm loving my wife, I'm loving my children, I'm loving the lost. Yes, but you're loving them with your love, which is a weak love. I'm not against your love, I'm just more for the love of God. I'm for the eternal, supernatural, never, never failing love of God. And so, God is love, and God is the great helper of people. So He said, you need to submit to the Holy Spirit, and in that submission, the fruit of the Spirit is this thing called love, and then I can love through you, and we can begin to make a difference in the lives of people. So God longs to control you and I. You say, is He just trying to be my dictator? Oh no. If He can get control of you, then you'll see the fruit of that Spirit or that Spirit's control in your life, and you become so productive, and there's so many benefits for you. You know, people who love a lot are really living a lot. You know, the Bible talks about that the Christian has an abundant life. Let me tell you, the abundant life is a life full of love. The more you love, the greater your life. And so, you and I, we're to use God as an example. He's to be our great example. And God is love. And He is the great people helper. So if we want to help people, we've got to love. Now, not only do we see God as an example, let me say number two, we need love. The human race needs love. Let's all admit it. We need love, and thank God for love. You know, when man originally sinned, there was a selfishness that triumphed at that time. When man originally sinned, he was following himself instead of following God. Adam and Eve fell into sin. That very moment, let me tell you what happened. When Adam and Eve fell into sin, that very moment, Adam accused Eve, his wife. Now, why did that, this is probably the first marital dispute. You see the very first fight, and what caused it? There was a selfishness involved. There was a selfishness involved. Selfishness had driven Adam's love away, and now he's casting blame, and he's virtually being mean to his wife, if you will. Well, what happened here? Well, you see, selfishness, and folks, selfishness is the opposite of love. Selfishness, it cancels out love. Sin robbed the world of a very pure love. You know, Adam and Eve, you see their very first tension, there's a selfishness that gets involved, so there's a lack of love there. Now, then you take two brothers, Cain and Abel. Do you understand what Cain and Abel, there was a lack of love taking place. As a result of it, love was weakened, and we see a mess comes between Cain and Abel to the point that one brother kills another brother. What caused that? A lack of love. What caused Adam and Eve's tension? A lack of love. When Jesus came down from heaven, I really believe part of the reason He came down here, it was to reestablish God's intent for man to love God and to remind man that God loves him. That's why we have a John 3:16. Jesus came to show us what love was. Jesus lived a life of love as our example. He died a death of love to give us an example. Now, He told us, love your enemies. He told us to love those that use us. He told us that true love never fails. So we start this thing out realizing God is the great people helper. And what is God? God is love. And the human race needs love. So we see the very first marital dispute. I believe there was a lack of love involved. We see the first tension between two brothers. There was a lack of love involved. Jesus comes along and He says, you got to get it together. You've got to learn to love right. John 15:12 says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. John 13:35 says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So, we have God is our example. If you want to help people, you need to be like God. How does God help people? He loves them. We realize man needs love. You need love. I need love. Thirdly, love will conquer selfishness. Love will conquer selfishness. Remember, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Selfishness is the enemy of love. Self is a curse. Selfishness toward God or our fellow man is a huge sign of a lack of love. Look, you brothers and sisters, you'd get along better at home. You wouldn't be so selfish about what's happening if you would love your brother like you ought to love your brother. If you would love your sister like you ought to love your sister. Folks, Jesus came to save us from hell. But He also came to save us from ourselves. Because we are very self-interested. We are very selfish. So He came to save us from hell, but He also came to tell us, now don't you live your life and make it all about you and what you want and what you can get out of it. You're to live your life to help others, to do things for others. And that's the happy, abundant Christian life. A selfless life means a life of others. A life of love. Now listen, you say, I'm going to empty myself of selfishness. Here's the problem. If you empty yourself of selfishness, you then must be filled with something. what are you to be filled with? Well, you need to be filled with the Spirit of God or filled with the love of God. So remind yourself, you say, I want to be selfless. To be selfless means to empty, but you're not going to stay empty. You're going to get filled with something. So you need to get filled with love so that self stays out of the picture. Every time you do the stingy thing, I promise you, if you're doing the stingy thing, that means you're doing what's good for you and somebody else is being left out, whether it's God or it's me or it's your husband or your wife or your brother or your sister. You know, for you to do the selfish thing, that means there's got to be somebody else that's being ignored. What caused that? What's the root of your selfishness? At that moment, there's a lack of love. You're forgetting you're to love that person. So the fruit of the Spirit's love. You know, a lot of people pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to fill them, but I don't think as many people get filled with the Spirit as ask for it. But I'm going to tell you something. If you are filled with the Spirit, you will love. Because the number one fruit of the Spirit is love. So I empty myself of self, I fill myself with the Spirit of God. Its primary ingredient, its primary act is then going to be love. So Romans 5:5 says this, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So I'm to walk in the Spirit. Why? Because if I walk in the Spirit, His primary motion in my life is going to be love. So He wants to take over and He wants me to live a life that is full of loving. That means I'm not going to be selfish. I'm going to give. I'm going to be interested in others. This verse here in Romans 5:5, where it says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Some people think that that saying, the love of God is shed abroad on me. But I think you limit yourself if you're not careful. The love of God is not just all about God loving you. The love of God is all about God loving you and you overflowing with that love to where it is shed abroad on others as a result of the overflow that's on in your life. So, boy, you tell people God loves you and there are all sorts of people say, amen! And then you say, and you ought to love others! And they all say, amen. This isn't all about us. You ought to love others, and it ought to be a known fact that you love people. So remember, God is love. He's our example. He is the great people helper. We need love, and the human race wants love. Love will conquer our selfishness. And anytime you find yourself selfish, then you have a lack of love at that moment in your life. Number four, I believe that our love shows the power of God to this world. You know, God wants His power known among His people. God wants His power known among the lost. God wants His power demonstrated. And you say, well, how can I demonstrate the power of God? Well, I want to say one of the greatest ways for you to demonstrate the power of God in this day and age is while everyone is hateful, selfish, self-centered, one of the best things for you to do is to have the love of God in your life and let people see that the power of God is working in your life. Now, sometimes we make the power of God this eerie, spooky, that heavenly dove that rushes into the room like a rushing mighty wind. Let me tell you something. The heavenly dove is going to cause you to love people and be selfless and not to be self-centered and to care about the other guy more than you care about yourself. And so keep on track here. The Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, number one on the list is love. If we're going to help people, we're going to do it through love. Unified churches are churches where the love of God is lived by God's people. You say, there's a lot of tension in my home. I'm going to tell you. I think if there's a lot of tension in a home, when it's present, there's a lack of love going on somewhere. And I'm sure all the husbands are saying, yeah, there is. She don't love me enough. Or the wife says, that's right. He's not loving me right. Or the parents are saying, that's right. The kids, they're not loving mom and dad like they should. Or the kids might say, well, that's right, mom and dad don't love me like they should. But I am going to make it very clear, when there is disunity in the church, there's a lack of love somewhere. When there is disunity in a marriage, there's a lack of love somewhere. When there is disunity in a family, there's a lack of love somewhere. In a ministry, when there is disunity, there is a lack of love somewhere. It is either a lack of love for the other individuals, it's a lack of love for God, it's a lack of love for right, it's a lack of love for the Bible. But somewhere, when you find disunity, you find selfishness. When you find selfishness, you find a lack of love. And so the answer is that we do what God said. We be filled with the Spirit. And when we're filled with the Spirit, the prominent fruit of the Spirit is going to be love. And suddenly love begins to resolve issues and we get along better with people. So God is our great example. He's the God of love. And the human race wants and needs love. And love will conquer selfishness. And love demonstrates the power of God. I think loving the lost demonstrates the power of God in your life. I think loving the Bible demonstrates the power of God in your life. I think loving the brethren demonstrates the power of God in your life. I think loving the fallen demonstrates the power of God in your life. Look, if you criticize the fallen, I'll promise you, you don't love right. You don't love right. To whatever degree you have His power, you will demonstrate His love. His love is connected to His power. And if someone wants to come across like, you know, I've just got the Holy Spirit all over me, but they're hateful, vengeful, spiteful, self-centered, rude, crude, selfish, stingy, and mean, you're lying to yourself. You're not filled with the Holy Spirit. You're filled with yourself. Because being filled with the Spirit then brings the love of God to the preeminent spot in your life, and you're going to love people. And boy, is it just, it's like an antibiotic. It is a soothing thing, and it takes over. You know, a preacher who begs for Holy Spirit power needs to realize then he sure is going to be connected to the love of God. I've trained hundreds, maybe thousands of young preachers in one way or another. And what a young preacher thinks is, I'm going to pray for the power of God, because when I preach, I want it to be bombastic and I want the words to flow. I want to sound good when I preach, and I want people to remember the name, the title of my sermon, and I want the power of God so I can preach at conferences. I'm very sorry. That is not why you look for the power of God. And the greatest demonstration of the power of God is not whether you got to have your sermon printed in the church newspaper. It is that the love of God is shed abroad in your heart, in the hearts of people, and people, when they leave the service, they say, I believe that man loved me, and I believe that church loved me. Even though they told me the truth, it was done in a way where the love of God was promoted. That's what the power of God's all about. We need God's power. Can I tell you? You'll have to let God help you love your enemies, because you won't be able to do it real well on your own. See, I love my enemies to death. This thing of loving your enemies, it takes the love of God to get it done, because our love is weak and anemic. Loving your enemy doesn't make sense to self. It doesn't make sense to the flesh. It doesn't make sense to the fleshly one. Now, you can love your enemies if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the prominent quality of that fruit of the Spirit is love. And you can love your enemy with the help of God when God does it through you. Love is a way that you and I can help people. I believe this. I believe that if you're going to serve God, your Christian service responsibilities require love for it to be done right. Folks, we are not to do our service for God in the flesh. You know what happens? Somebody gets saved, they come to church, and the pastor comes to them and says, hey, I want you to work in a Sunday school class. And they go, oh, Oh, I don't know, Pastor. That would be new to me, and that would be scary, and I'm not real sure. I'm not real sure I'm up to it. But you go ahead and do it. But you know what you do? You keep saying to God, "Oh God, help me not to mess up." And Spirit of God, you'll have to help me that I do this right. And oh, and I want to be so careful. And Spirit of God, control me and help me to do it right. Oh, what boy, that was so good for you. But you know what happens? After a while, you learn how to do what you're supposed to do. At first, when you were called upon, when you were going to be in the choir, you were scared about it. When you were going to work that position in the church, you were scared to death. And you kept going to God, saying, "God, help me. God, help me. God, help me. God, help me." And you know what? God did. God helped you. But can I warn you about something? If you're not careful, you'll learn how to do it. You'll learn how to help that Sunday school class. You'll learn how to be that bus worker. You'll learn how to sing in that choir. You'll learn how to be a soul winner. You'll learn how to do it. And before long, you don't go to God anymore. It used to be, it was, "Oh God, help me. Oh God, help me. I'm not sure I can. God, I'm not sure I can do this." And God said, "Oh, they're so humble. Watch, I'm going to bless them and I'm going to help them through this." But you learned how to do it. And you know what? You don't need God anymore. You don't need the Holy Spirit anymore. So you just come and you do it. But I've got news for you. You've left something very important out. Back when you were not good at it, you depended on the Holy Spirit to help you through it. Now you're good at it and you don't need Him anymore, which means you're serving God in the flesh. You would be better off not being sure of yourself and dependent on Him than being sure of yourself and strutting around like a banty rooster, like you've got it all together, and ignoring the Spirit of God and ignoring the dependence you're to have on Him. And I just got to tell you, folks, you and I are not to serve God in the flesh. And the more educated you become spiritually, the less you think you need Him. Because you now know how. You can do it without Him. Look, you won't serve God for long in the flesh. You won't last long, and you won't have lasting fruit that way. So the love of God and this thing of the Spirit of God is very important. Let me tell you, your ministry needs you to be filled with the Spirit so the love of God is doing the work through you. Every bus worker in here, when you first started work on the bus route, it was a little scary because you said, "I'm not sure what to do. I don't know how to do it. I'm not sure I can handle this." Be careful now that you've learned it. You know, the people on your bus route need the love of God. And what that means is you need the Spirit of God to control you, because the one of the primary fruit, if you will, in the fruit of the Spirit is love. And when you go out, those people need to see that you love them, and the Spirit of God can help communicate that for you. You know, folks, your family needs the love of God. Listen, parents, your family needs the love of God in your family, not just your love. Are you a carnal dad? You know how to love, but are you loving your family with the Spirit of God's love, or are you doing it with your love? Are you a carnal mother? You say, "Oh, I love my kids." Look, lost women love their kids, but not like a saved person can love, because the Spirit of God can use that supernatural love that comes from God through us to our kids. The average dad is a carnal dad, and the average mom is a carnal mom, and what we need to do is get back to being spiritual dads and spiritual moms and letting God love people through us, not us loving people and doing it on our own. That bus route needs you to love them, but not with your love, with God's love. You say, "How am I going to get that?" You let yourself be filled with the Spirit. You submit yourself to the Spirit of God. Then the fruit of the Spirit becomes active. The prominent fruit is that one of love. Now people are getting a high quality, unmatchable, unstoppable. It's the love of God. It'll make the difference. There are churches everywhere. They have church. They sing their songs. They do their ditty. And they do it in the flesh. And so they're an average, run-of-the-mill church. Just like all the other churches. I don't want a church like all the other churches. I want people to come in and say, "There's something unique going on here. Can't quite put my finger on it." What is that? That is the supernatural aspect of what God can do. That's not a bunch of religious people doing their religious deeds in the flesh with their own talent and their own ability. That is a group of people that say, I'm going to walk in the Spirit, and therefore the Spirit's going to bring the love of God out in me, and people's going to see a difference. And you don't do it so people see the difference. You do it so people experience and enjoy the difference. Your marriage, the average husband loves his wife with his love. The average wife loves her husband with her love. You want some advice? Let God love your mate through you. It'll take you to a new level. You see, and a man says, I don't know how to love her the way she wants to be loved. Why don't you stop using yours? Let God start loving her through you. And if that's not adequate for her, receiver's broken, not your giver. Because you can't beat that love. That love that comes from Him through you to her can't beat that love. But I'm going to promise you, the average man, even the average born-again Christian man, loves his wife with his love. And the Lord said, your love's tainted. It's weak. It's anemic. It's fleshly. It's carnal. Usually, it wants reciprocation. I'll love you if you give me what I want. God said, I'll love you whether you give me what I want or not. And when you can convince your spouse that you love them no matter what they are, you've finally reached a level of love that's very unique. So, look, your Sunday school class needs you to love them. Your family, your husband, needs you to love him. Your wife needs you to love her. Your children need that kind of love. The average parent loves their children with their love. But if you would let God love your children through you, you've gone to a unique level of love. Remember, God's love. The human race needs love. Love, pure love, will drive out stinginess. But if you drive out the stinginess, it must be filled with something else. Well, the Spirit of God will fill you, and He produces a love that makes the difference. It's the Christian love that the whole Christian philosophy, the whole Christian belief is built upon. And even here in the church, when we serve, whether it's our Sunday school class, in the choir. Folks, you know that when you sing in the choir, you ought to stand up here having submitted yourself to the Spirit of God so that, hey, nothing like watching someone sing about the love of God, but you know they don't practice it. You ever see someone sing and they're singing about a song about the love of God and you know they're just as hateful and mean and spiteful and full of revenge and all that? Boy, sure dampens the spirit of things. No, it ought to be done in the love of God. Every church duty. It would be very difficult to say, but so often I'll go to churches and young men, older men, they'll say, preacher, while you're here, tell me what you see. Tell me what you feel like we need. Critique my ministry while you're here. And I don't do that, because if you did, it'd just about destroy them, you know. Everybody's a little too temperamental for that. But I can tell you this, most often, the thing that I would say, if I had true liberty to say it, I would say, you folks know how to do the things that God wants you to do it, but you do it in the flesh. You don't do it in the Spirit. Therefore, it is a lower level of accomplishment. If you want high level of accomplishment, you don't get it by your education. You get it by your submission to the Spirit of God that takes you to a love level, a level of compassion, a level of truth that is not a carnal level. It's a supernatural level. And so, folks, may I say to everybody in here, I think everybody in here loves. But at what level do you love? At your level, or at the level that the Holy Spirit of God can take you to? That is the deepest, most powerful, life-changing, human-altering level of love available. And if you and I are going to help people, we'll help them through love. How am I going to get it? By submitting myself to the Holy Spirit, so the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, may become preeminent in my life. Then people get a level of love that is a life-changing level. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wish for all of us that we would learn to love God's way, not just our way, but God's way. And I'm not against you and I expressing our love And we're supposed to. Boy, are we're to let God get a hold of that. You go to the Holy Spirit of God and say, Spirit of God, control me all day long, every day, 24 hours a day. And suddenly, the Spirit of God that will produce the fruit that is a powerful, unmatchable. The Bible says, it faileth not. It faileth not. Who here tonight would say, boy, I believe that God's helped me tonight. There's something about the love in my life that needs to be strengthened. I need this supernatural love so I can make a difference in my family's life and the life of the lost and the life of the brethren. And God helping me, I'll do something with the thought of having the love of God working through me. Not just my love, but the love of God. Who could raise their hand to the sky and say, help me with that. Lord, I want that. I want to love my wife right, my husband right, my children right, my Sunday school class right. God bless you. You may put your hands down. We'll have an altar call. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you're here tonight and you need a moment at the altar, hey, are you a bus worker? And you do the work of God, but you do it with your own love. You ought to be using that love of God. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, the quality of love, not just your love, but the love of God. Wives, love your husbands, not just with your love, but with the love that God sheds abroad in our heart. I'll promise you that if you want to make a difference in lost people's lives, if you go to witness to them and you try to do it with your own personality and do it with your own love, you're going to limit your influence of soul winning. But if you will go soul winning and you will let God love them through you by walking in the Spirit, you will suddenly begin to see miraculous salvations. Let's not love our way, let's love God's way. Let's not love our quality, let's love with God's quality. God's expectations upon us are high. You say, how can I do some of that? Well, you won't do it in the flesh. You'll meet the great expectation of God, and He's provided you with the great Holy Spirit to match that expectation, that requirement. This is the last time through the song. We'll look at our prayer bulletin and we'll be on our way.